Now, the story of one man who traveled to a small island in the South Pacific just to make a point about America. Mike Daisy is a solo theater performer whose work has been called electrifying and brilliant. As NPR's Elizabeth Blair reports, his latest piece is about cargo cults.
Cargo cults in the South Pacific began after World War II. During the war, thousands of Allied forces set up military bases on remote islands. They brought with them modern amenities like radios, jeeps, refrigerators. And then they left, taking their goods with them.
And in that moment, when they were on these islands, the want of the islanders crystallized.
In his new show, The Last Cargo Cult, Mike Daisy talks about how, for tribal societies, this was like magic.
And so when they left, all of the South Pacific, independent of each other, religions sprang up that worshipped America, or more accurately, worshipped the power of America, worshipped the objects of America.
To this day, the people of the island Tana try to summon back the Americans and their objects in an annual celebration called John Frum Day. And last year, around the time the global markets were crashing, Mike Daisy read an article about this cargo cult and decided to go there because it seemed like a place that was beyond the reach of money.
And it was at that moment that I realized that I needed to go to this island, but I had to do it because of what was happening in my culture.
Now, as a performer, Mike Daisy is quite large, physically and emotionally. Getting to this remote little island in the South Pacific was not easy for him.
And this plane is a joke. It looks like the punchline to a joke about planes. You look at it and you think, really?
But he got there and was able to attend the John Frum Day celebration. Daisy says thousands of people attend.
It's actually very breathtaking. There's this beautiful silence, and they raise a huge American flag up a flagpole, and then they begin to tell the story of the history of America as they know it to be, woven together with their own history, in these massive dances that have hundreds of people. They put Broadway to shame.
Some history, social commentary, comedy, and autobiography. That's what you get in a Mike Daisy monologue. Jason Zinnemann, a theater critic for the New York Times, calls him a master storyteller. Zinnemann says Daisy might not like this, but he sees similarities between him and Fox News commentator Glenn Beck.
And I say that with generosity because I think Glenn Beck is a great performer. One of the things Glenn Beck does is he tells several different narratives, and then they intersect in these unusual ways, and he makes these connections between seemingly disparate things. And that's what Mike Daisy does.
I remember the moment I realized I was poor.
Daisy's monologues almost always refer back to his growing up in a working-class community in far northern Maine.
And as my father is fond of saying, Maine is like Mexico with white people. And that's why it's called vacation land, because every summer, all the landed gentry of New England flood up to Maine. And they say, oh my God, it's all so quaint and so cheap. And the people are so cheap. And they're the same color as we are. So it isn't awkward.
In his current show, Mike Daisy connects what he calls Americans' worship of money to a cargo cult. As an artist, Daisy says he doesn't make a lot of money, but he does think about it every day. In his show, he says the balance in his bank account is the single most important number in his life.
All money is power. All power corrupts. But we can't go through life. Most of us can't. I know I can't go through life totally divorced from money. I need money. In fact, I love money. At the same time, I have to recognize that the more money I have, the more it corrupts.
Something Mike Daisy says the people he met on a remote island in the South Pacific are aware of, even as they, like us, worship what it might bring. Over the next few months, Mike Daisy is performing The Last Cargo Cult at theaters in Washington, D.C., Atlanta, and Chicago. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.